Good evening. Time being 5:30 p.m, I will open the meeting. Good evening. My name is Paula Reid, Mayor of Kingborough, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to this evening's meeting on Monday, the 4th of July, 2022. Welcome to our gentlemen in the public gallery and also to those people who are watching along at home via YouTube. Being 5:30, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that Council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. In accordance with Council's policy, I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirmed.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. And I'd also like to acknowledge that it is actually NAIDOC Week this week. Our attendees this evening is myself, Councillor Reid. Councillor Bastone will be with us shortly. She's been stuck in traffic. We also have Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. For our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, who is also doubling as Mrs Morton tonight, and our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and we have apologies from the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood. Turning now to page two, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 12, held on the 20th of June 2022, be confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last council meeting. There was a workshop on water quality held on Monday, the 27th of June. Staying on page two now, declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? No, thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to move from open into closed session or closed into open session? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. Does our member of the public wish to ask a question without notice this evening? No. Thank you. Questions on notice from the public. If you do wish to submit a question on notice, you can send it to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. And a good evening to Councillor Bastone, who has now joined us at 5:33 p.m. The questions on notice in the public that we have submitted here are sports ground user fees from Mr Adam Smee and an officer's response from Ms Sprott, Browns River Bridge from Mr Tong and an officer response from Mr Reeve, Osborne Esplanade upgrade also from Mr Tong and an officer's response from Mr Reeve, and Ducks at Boulevard Park Kingston Beach from Ms Lalani Hyatt and an officer's response from Liz Quinn. Moving now to page four, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Grace and then Councillor Cordova.
I have two. Regarding the sports ground charges, which I noted now it's the second time it's come before council in question, and I've heard quite a bit as a councillor. Will we be getting a further report on that to bring us up to date, please?
I'll ask Mr Smee, but my understanding is yes, there will be some further
sooner or later.
Mr Smee can perhaps give us a time frame. Mr Smee. Too many lights on.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, Council has made a resolution with respect to fees, and we have been in consultation with clubs in relation to that matter. We will bring a report back to Council if there's a need to do so, if we feel that there's a need to amend or make any changes to what Council's already resolved. But if there doesn't appear to be any need for that, then the next time Council will consider this matter would be as part of the budget review process and when it's setting its fees and charges.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Grace.
I'm just trying to digest Mr. Smee, so I'm a little bit confused. So obviously the consultation didn't go far enough, so we're going to, or they're having, council staff are having more talks, is that how I understand it, with the groups, and then we'll come back to council.
So my understanding was that all presidents of sporting clubs in Kingborough who use our facilities had an initial meeting with our former strategic sports advisor, Mr. Wade, and that there are further meetings to take place, but perhaps Mr. Smee could just confirm that.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. There's been two reports to council in relation to this matter. The first gained council's in-principle approval for the reintroduction of sports ground user fees. The consultation following that very much indicated that what clubs wanted to know was the quantum of fees and the time frame in which they'd been would be introduced. So council then resolved that the time frame would be from the 1st of July 2023, and there would be an initial fee of $5 per hour. And following that council resolution, we've now been communicating that to clubs and seeking their feedback in relation to that. And as I indicated, if there is a need to come back to council, there's no need to come back to council with a further decision to be made, but if the ongoing consultation with clubs does throw up a need to report back to council, we will do so.
Yes,
thank you. Mr.
I'm happy, with that question, and I have another question.
Sure.
And only one more. I noted again more advertisements, positions vacant in this council. It's alarming, the number of staff that's left this council in the last 4 years or more. Can the General Manager please advise where we are at with the enterprise bargaining? Are we still stalemates with the employees, or are we making headway?
The General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. I'll begin by saying that I don't believe the two are related. In terms of the enterprise agreement, the negotiations are continuing. There is an offer that is being considered by the ASU and the enterprise bargain delegates, and we have further meetings will take place once we get advice back from the ASU on whether they are prepared to accept or reject the offer.
And can you just give me a time frame on that, please, through you, Mayor?
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Grace, it's difficult to predict, assuming that it goes to the vote again, mindful that it's been voted down three times already. It will probably be, I suspect, given it's early July, it'll probably be August before it goes to the vote at the earliest, probably mid to late August.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, ma'am. I've got three questions. My first one is about NAIDOC Week. As you mentioned at the start of this meeting, this week is NAIDOC Week, being celebrated from the 3rd of July to the 10th of July, and this year the theme is Get Up, Stand Up and Show Up. You can learn more about local NAIDOC Week events online, and as we speak, there's a NAIDOC Week event taking place right now at the Community Hub with the Southeast Tasmanian Aboriginal Corporation, CTAC, which I'm aware some of my councillor colleagues have attended earlier. In addition to showing up to events, joining in solidarity, learning history and truth-telling, are there any key messages that council would like to share with the public regarding NAIDOC Week?
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Look, certainly NAIDOC Week is an opportunity for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community to celebrate their care of country and their history of survival as a nation. But it's also a great opportunity for all of us as Tasmanians to take part and to help celebrate with the local community. And as you mentioned, the event that is taking place at the Hub at the moment, that I know that I think Councillor Fox and Councillor Midgley attended for some of it, unfortunately did clash with our meeting this evening, but I did meet with CTAC about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they were very excited about the event that they had planned for tonight, and it was their intention to use that theme to acknowledge and celebrate members of their community, many who have led and really driven change over many years and in some cases over generations. So I understand that tonight's event was had an awards ceremony and a smoking ceremony, and Councillor Fox told me the smell of the food was incredible, and there was music and dancing planned, and so it really was a true celebration. And they had been working very closely with many of the local schools, both here and in the Huon as well. And I was delighted when I met with them to let them know that we would support the event through council by waiving the higher fees for the community hub through the mayoral donations program as a way of showing our support for the activities that are going on today. But there is also another event this Wednesday at the hub from 2 to 4 p.m. And that's a free arts workshop for people of all ages. And so there's a local artist, Gemma O'Rourke, and it's open to anybody to go along. They are hoping people would register, but anyone who goes along would be contributing to a communal art piece which then will go on display at the hub. And I think that's a really lovely way to get the community engaged in NAIDOC Week, so I would really encourage people to take part. And and I guess what I'd like to say to the community is, on behalf of Kingborough Council, is to wish our Tasmanian Aboriginal community a great NAIDOC Week of celebrations, and perhaps reflect that for all of us it's time to sit back and consider, as non-Indigenous Australians, what we can do to support and secure collaborations and cooperative reforms moving forward for the Aboriginal community right across Australia.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. My second question is about recycling and the recycling kiosk, and this question relates to the KWS board report later on in the agenda. It's in one of the appendices for the agenda. So firstly, I'd just like to thank everybody involved for providing that information to Council. The operational report particularly is really interesting, and it's amazing to see the level of detail of the data that's available, and good to see that the financial reports are showing strong results. My first question on the KWS board report relates to, within the board action list, there's a mention of seeking an EOI from community groups on servicing recycling kiosks. May I please ask for a little bit more detail about these recycling kiosks, for example, where they are and what's involved with the community? Thanks.
Thank you. I will ask Mr. Reeve to address that, but I had actually highlighted this as something to that we should actually remind the community that we have here at the Civic Centre, because looking at the report that is from, I think it was March and April, just that centre that we have here has received 53 kilos of coffee pods,
wow.
11 kilos of books and magazines, 33 kilos of household batteries, 5 kilos of light globes, and 32 kilos of small e-waste. And I know that I regularly, when I'm coming in, I'm bringing in batteries and coffee pods and all sorts of bits and pieces in my house, and I've noticed it's been very full, so I'm really pleased that the community is embracing that. And sounds like we might have plans, or KWS has plans, to have something similar, and hopefully Mr. Reeve can give us some details about it. Mr. Reeve.
Yes, through you, Mayor. So, yes, so the recycling kiosk is, that is one of them, just out the front there. I think we've got one up at the Sports Centre as well. But we'll also be looking at other opportunities for potentially putting in additional kiosks as well. So the mention of getting somebody to actually run that service, so we've just been going through that process there with the viewpoint of getting someone to do the collections there. Previously we were getting KWS staff to actually go and do those collections, but this is a more cost effective way of actually managing that process there, and that's how we intend to move forward with that or any other kiosks that we might want to put in place as well.
Thank you, that's great. And through you, Mayor, terrific initiative, and I'm really pleased to hear about that. The second question on the KWS report relates to the reuse shop, and as I mentioned earlier, it seems from the report, my reading of it is that financially KWS is very robust, but my question is relating to the reuse shop and sales being down there. For what reason or reasons does the KWS board attribute this downward trend in sales at reuse shop, and is there any information regarding those larger trends about reuse shop that we should know about?
Thank you. I think it is very seasonal, my understanding is. It might be something to do with it. People are less inclined in the colder months, but Mr. Reeve might have a greater insight.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Partly seasonal, partly COVID-related there. So what we found is that during COVID times, as did the other retail sector, business boomed, so to speak, there. So last year's results there aren't a great indication in terms of this year's results. So what we're finding in this year is it's getting back similar to what it was previous to COVID times. Obviously, people had disposable income and weren't using that, so...
Thank you. So it sounds like things are getting back to normal. My final question, please, Mayor, through you, is about short-stay accommodation. The first question is Council aware of the report into Airbnb and short-stay accommodation released last week entitled Monitoring the Impact of Short-Term Rentals on Tasmanian Housing Markets, commissioned by Shelter Tas and produced by Emeritus Professor Peter Phibbs? Is Council aware of that report?
Yes, okay, we are, through the media.
And then through you, Mayor, the detailed question is, so the report finds that, and this is a quote, Greater Hobart is overloaded with short-term rental properties with 6.8 times more short-term rentals as a proportion of the total long-term rental market than Sydney. And it also finds that in Greater Hobart, the withdrawal of just 195 properties from the private rental market can move the vacancy rate from 2% down to 1%. And that... The corollary of that is that when that vacancy rate drops to 1%, rent rises are more likely to be over 10%. So my question is, if Hobart City Council's planning committee successfully moves changes to the planning scheme, as they're debating tonight, that would put a cap on new whole house short stays in most residential areas of Hobart City Council, is Kingborough Council concerned that there could be a potential spillover, some kind of spillover effect from those curbs in Hobart City Council, which might result in unsustainable rises in short-stay whole dwellings here in Kingborough, where landlords can no longer profit from converting houses into short-stays in Hobart City, so they might move their short-stay investments into Kingborough. To put that question another way, are we worried that if landlords are no longer able to do Airbnb in Sandy Bay, that there might be a really radical influx in people doing it instead in Taroona, for example? Are we worried about that?
Look, I think that would be a very valid concern that we may have. It will be interesting to see the legalities of whether the Hobart City Council can actually successfully limit the number of short-stay accommodation permits given under the planning scheme. If that is the case and it proves to be successful, then I would say that's something that as a council we would need to consider here as well, to ensure that we aren't unfortunately impacted by a flow-on effect, because we do know that the rental situation in Kingborough is exceptionally tight, and amongst some of the tightest as it is. So certainly we would keep a watching brief on that, and it might be something that later in the year, as a new council, we may need to consider. Next I had Councillor Bastone and then Councillor Gladewright.
Thank you, Mayor. Do council officers have the right to enter private property without notification? That's my first question.
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, in certain circumstances, the answer is yes.
Okay. What is the legal responsibility of the property owner if the council officer is bitten by a dog that is loose on the property or in any other way injures themselves if they have not first notified the owner that they're coming onto the property?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Vestone, I'd need to know more detail on the circumstance before I could answer that question accurately.
I'll speak to you privately about it later.
Thank you. Councillor Bastow and Councillor Glaidwright.
Thank you. My first question is, would you allow me to deliver a very short piece of positive feedback?
If you can phrase it. Well, that was a question. That was a question. That is very clever because that was a question. So if you certainly can, and then if you can somehow ask if I would like to comment, which would be a question. There you go.
Thank you. The comment from the community member is, bouquets to Kingborough Council for re-gravelling the track through the Mary Knoll Reserve over the past week. I was going to comment about the washaways, but I walked through today and it's been fixed. Claire Glaidwright, please pass this on to staff. So I thought that I would do so because we don't often get really nice feedback like that from the community. We usually hear more about the moans and groans. So I think it is really important that we do pass that on.
Thank you. And I always make a point when I receive feedback from members of the community about maintenance issues in particular to make sure that I let the manager of works know that the work has been appreciated by members of the community, because it's not uncommon to get emails to say, you know, gee, this road's been done and they did such a good job, or we love the way that they're looking after the Blackmans Bay foreshore or something. So that's appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. And one last question. I've noticed lots of people are analysing the ABS results that have come out recently. Is there going to be some kind of Kingborough snapshot that someone is presenting to us, or...? Not particularly.
It came out while I was on leave, but the General Manager might be able to provide an update.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Glaidwright, we are waiting for the final detail, but it is a good opportunity in answering to say that Kingborough's population has officially exceeded 40,000, 40,082 according to the census data. And one of the implications for that, of course, is that we get an extra vote at Local Government Association of Tasmania meetings.
Mm. All right. Three votes instead of two. We can change the world now.
City.
Yep. Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions. Our first one relates to the KWS report on page, well, I think it was page 55, sorry. 55, it is the diversion statistics, which are really great to see, and noting that we don't have any data regarding the change in FOGO. But I'm just wondering, Mayor, if Mr. Reeve would like to make any comment in regards to the diversion statistics, and perhaps if we have a goal for diversion, and are we on track for curbside FOGO?
I think you understand that Mr. Reeve always likes the opportunity to answer a question and make a comment. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, certainly the idea is to try and build those diversion rates up as much as we can. We haven't got a specific target that's actually in place for it, but we have obviously been introducing new parts to the service there that has allowed us to actually divert more. In terms of when you're referring to curbside FOGO, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to there. You're talking about public place FOGO, or are you talking about...
Sorry, on page 55, it states curbside FOGO. So that's been implemented, but in regards to, I guess, is that the kind of statistic we were thinking that we might divert, or... Maybe not off the top of your head, but I'm just wondering, did you have any sort of thoughts around that actual figure?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Certainly we were expecting probably less individual weights for the bins based on what we'd actually heard from Hobart. Having said that, it's obviously well used by people across all the different seasons, which is what we expected as well. So as soon as we move from just garden organics to food organics there, we knew that would start to even some of that out a little bit more in the off-seasons there. It is still a bit of a watching brief in terms of how it's going to go. So we will do some more bin audits as well going forward there, so that'll give us more information exactly on what we're getting in the various different areas as well, so that'll all be valuable information. But at the moment it's probably tracking where we thought it might track.
Great, thank you. The next question is regarding the Spring Farm playground. I note today we've got a survey out for feedback. I'm wondering, will there be an on-site consultation with local community members?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, if required, we haven't got one planned at the moment, but certainly if there was enough community support for that, we could do that.
Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
Yes, I'm sorry, I just forgot to in the other part of it. I keep forgetting about that.
The bit at the back, yep.
Yeah. Look, on page 82 of the KWS report, service level agreement report, it says that it's been doing programs with various schools. A further 6 schools are currently scheduled to have the program delivered in 2022. I'm mentioning Bruny Island, so one would assume, I would think, that the other 6 schools, I don't know where they are, but will this program be also taken to, even though the students at Bruny Island only got up to grade 6, because they've been very active in
Yep. Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yes, we certainly have been talking with Bruny Island about some other matters there, so Bruny Island schools about some other matters there, so there's opportunity for other schools to actually put up their hand to be part of the school education program. Obviously, we've only got one person who's actually delivering that at the moment there, but that's not to say that we can't actually look at our schedule and actually fit other schools into that process.
Thank you so much. And my final question is on the General Manager's report. Met with representatives of DSG, Bruny Island Maintenance now, I believe. Firstly, I asked the General Manager if he can give us some briefing on what that was about,
yep,
because I may not be able to say what I've heard, because I'm not sure how confidential it is at the moment.
Okay. General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Grace, that particular meeting was a discussion with the General Manager at Department of State Growth, and they indicated that despite our efforts over a long time now to have a contract in place for the works we've been doing on an ongoing basis, they were looking at a regional solution. Yes.
No further questions without notice, and we'll continue through the agenda. We now are at page 4, questions on notice from councillors. There are a number there. The first was from Councillor Cordova in relation to use of facial recognition technology in Kingborough, with an officer's response from Mr Malt. Over on page 6, construction of deck at Taruna Hall from Councillor Bastone, with an officer's response from Ms Tyler Moore. Also from Councillor Bastone, also with a response from Ms Tyler Moore, was planning approval for a bus shelter. And also from Councillor Bastone, with a response from Mr Arnold, installation of wheelhouse at Alana. Still on page 6, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions received. We turn now to page 7, officers' reports to council, street trading policy review, with a recommendation on page 9. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please.
So moved.
I've got a mover in Councillor Cordova and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, ma'am. This is the street trading, formerly known as the footpath trading policy review, and essentially it is the recommendation here is that there have been some minor changes recommended, and it's recommended for approval as is. I have confidence in this and in the changes that have been made, and I would also like to thank the author and the authoriser and everyone for the work that they put in. Essentially, this municipality has limited areas that are suitable for street trading, but where they do exist, we seek to regulate that in an appropriate and reasonable way to make sure that everybody gets the very best in the municipality, both those service providers and also the consumer. The two key locations identified are Kingston Beach and the Kingston CBD around Kingston Park. 2 years ago, there were 5 businesses that applied for permits. Last year, there were 6. and all of those permits related to on-street dining activities. I think it's important to mention what this policy is not, and this policy is not in relation to food trucks. They are regulated by a different policy. And I think probably the important thing to recognise within this policy is about the three distinctions that are now made in section 5.2 relating to footpath zones. Footpath zones have been amended to better incorporate a variety of streetscape scenarios with a requirement to provide a continuous unobstructed path of travel for pedestrians being the key consideration. And I'm also really pleased to see that this draft policy was reviewed by the Disability Inclusion and Access Advisory Committee at their meeting on the 8th of June. As I mentioned earlier, there are only minor changes made in this, but they are good ones, and the policy has operated successfully in previous years. So most of the changes that I noted were essentially updating the nomenclature to be more appropriate, but also those changes in relation to the three footpath zones, that is the pedestrian zone, the curbside zone, and the street trading zone. Also worth noting that on days of strong winds, unsecured furniture should not be placed on the street trading zone. Kind of a no-brainer, but worth mentioning. And also, I think that the various small changes that are there are good ones. Also worth noting that footpaths with a total width less than 3 metres will not be considered for on-street dining. It's a good policy, and I commend it, and I look forward to the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further speakers? Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question. The objective 3.1, it's to ensure that the street trading within the Kingborough municipal area, and in 4.1, it applies to all council roads within the Kingborough municipality. Now, I'm wondering if this applies to roads and areas such as Margate. The road is not a council road, but it is within the Kingborough municipality. So I'm just wondering is the definition only for roads that are controlled by council?
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Mr Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, yes, look, we can only really control the roads that we actually own ourselves, unless we come into an agreement with whoever owns the private road. So areas like the Channel Highway through Margate there, we do control because we control the footpath area in Margate. So even though that's a Department of State growth road there, they're only managing the pavement, which is the road pavement. We're managing the footpaths on both sides. So in that case, it would apply.
So that applies to any... Sorry, I just need to get this straight in my head. Any road, the footpath on any road within the Kingborough municipality.
That's
have we done an
meters.
Audit on how many are actually out there compared to how many have applied for permits?
Through you, Mayor, we haven't done an audit in terms of who may be actually carrying out street trading there. I mean, we've sort of noted in the report there the ones who have actually applied for a permit. Certainly if someone was undertaking any street trading, they'd have to actually be able to meet the policy to start off with. And if they didn't and they were doing it without a permit there, then that's one that we can actually follow up individually there. But we don't receive any complaints about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Any further comments? Councillor Wass.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. A question to Mr Reeve. I believe the street dining is not required permit from council in such places as privately owned, that is the internal of Channel Court, across the road, around the Coles complex, etc., and you're nodding your head and agreeing with me. What requirements are placed on those that set up on private land?
Mr Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so that would run through our development application process there, so they would put their own conditions on those particular uses as to how they would need to operate. Clearly, if there's aspects within our own policies there that would be applicable, that are actually allowable via the planning scheme there, they would be looking at actually trying to employ those in their conditions as well at the same time.
Thank you, Councillor.
Just further, if I may, yes. Mayor. So what is there anything that they must adhere to, or can they just set up where they want? I'm thinking such things as one wall at least being available for vision impaired, and width of prams, I suppose, in the shopping centre, the shopping trolleys, etc.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Look, if it's not covered through a development application, it's going to be covered through the various different acts there. So there's obviously acts there that provide fairly strong guidance and direction in terms of what people must do. And I guess if someone was going to actually then go back to that business and say, you're actually discriminating in some shape or form against me, then there'd obviously be some ability to actually deal with that as well at the same time. So there is other guidelines apart from just a development application and what's on the conditions for a development application.
Mm. Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I have a question. It's a good point. I'm just following off some of the stuff. An existing building, a commercial business, closes down, and then a new owners take ownership and then decide, well, we'll refurnish this and open up a sliding window so you can just drive up and say, cup of coffee, pass it out the window, or you can come in and have meals or whatever. How does that apply to the planning scheme itself?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, the business operation is governed by the planning scheme, so if the business changes for whatever reason there, then it's required to go through that process there. So it's picked up during that process there. I guess what we're talking about here is more to do with where we pick up on people trading on the public streets more than not. So this is what this policy is all about there. So if there was a particular business in that case there that wanted to trade on the public streets, once again, they would need to go through this permitting process that's actually outlined in this policy here.
So I raised it because of the concern it's on the corner of a street, and we all know that corner blocks has a lot of road reservation within its boundary that we do allow people to use. But I mean, I'm just being, you know, just asking that because probably also with Tony Gamble's Kingston Beach stuff, if I can say so, that, you know.
Thank you. Further contributions before I ask Councillor Cordova if he wants to sum up. I just wanted to confirm that yes, the Disability Inclusion Access Advisory Committee had a look at this. We'd gone through it very thoroughly when it was first introduced a couple of years ago, and they are all very, very happy with the policy in terms of the amount of room that it gives to allow people using mobility devices to navigate footpaths very well. As always, they will remain vigilant to anyone who's breaching those, and but they're very, very appreciative of this policy, so I just wanted to place that on the record. Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up? No, thank you. So I'm going to put the motion. It's as printed on page 9. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 22, naming of Alana Foreshore Park, with a recommendation on page 23. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved Councillor Bastone, seconded Councillor Grace. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. At the meeting of the Bruniana Community Association on the 13th of February, a suggestion was made that the park on the foreshore of Alona be named the Jack Dwyer VC Recreation Park. And in part, this was to avoid getting the park known by some locals as Feral Park, which it certainly isn't anymore. John James Dwyer was an Australian recipient of the Victoria Cross who established an orchard on Bruny under the soldier settlement scheme on his return from World War I. He married at Alona and continued to work there. He was a Bruny Island councillor for 4 years until he entered state parliament, and he held several important offices, including the Deputy Premier of Tasmania. In 2010, the council approved the name the Jack Dwyer Drive in the east, to the east of the park, in recognition of his significant military and community services. After doing some consultation within the community, the local community and the family sought to have the name changed to the Dwyer Park. Because there were three brothers, all of whom gave exemplary service in the war. There's only the cost of signage and things, and I think this is a really good positive move. The community have been working very hard on the park to develop it from being an unmown section of council land. So I just wish that we would be able to name this park.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Any further speakers? I guess you won't be summing yourself up then. So I will put the recommendation as moved by Councillor Bastone, seconded by Councillor Grace, as printed on page 23. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. The notice of motion on page 24, I understand, has been that was put forward by Councillor Midgley has been withdrawn. Could you just confirm that for the recording, please?
Thank you, Mayor. I wish to withdraw the Code of Conduct Review notice of motion.
Thank you. That means that we're now on page 25, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Fox, seconder Councillor Street. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with Kingborough Council's meetings audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Open session of Council adjourned at 6:12 p.m.